Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Liberty Amendments Restoring the American Republic is a 2013 political and constitutional reform book by Mark R. Levin, a lawyer and conservative radio host. Written as an argument for structural change rather than as a conventional history or policy text. It proposes a set of 11 constitutional amendments intended to revive what Levin sees as the original balance of federalism, republicanism, and limited government. The book is shaped by a deep distrust of modern federal expansion and by the belief that the Constitution can still be used as a vehicle for reducing centralized power. Rather than offering small administrative fixes, Levin lays out a broad agenda that would alter how Congress, the courts, the states, and the electorate interact. Its purpose is both diagnostic and prescriptive. It identifies what Levin sees as institutional drift and then sketches a constitutional mechanism for reversing it. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a constitutional blueprint for shrinking federal power. The central purpose of the book is not simply to criticize Washington, but to replace the current constitutional order with a tighter, more decentralized structure. Levin argues that the modern federal government has accumulated authority far beyond what the founders intended, and he treats this as a structural problem rather than a temporary policy failure. The 11 proposed amendments are designed to move power away from national institutions and back towards states and citizens. This makes the book distinctive within political commentary because it does not argue for one law, one election cycle, or one president. It argues for a redesign of the rules themselves. The result is a book that is as much about constitutional architecture as about ideology. Readers are asked to consider whether limited government can be restored only by changing the governing framework, not merely by electing different officials. Secondly, the 11 amendments as a program of institutional restraint. Levin's proposals form a coordinated package aimed at restraining several major areas of government at once. They include term limits for members of Congress and Supreme Court justices, the return of senatorial selection to state legislatures, and tighter controls on spending, taxation, and regulation. He also proposes reauthorization requirements for federal departments, stricter limits on the Commerce Clause, and compensation rules for government actions that reduce property value. Each proposal addresses a different source of federal power, but together they create a consistent logic authority, should be harder to accumulate and easier to challenge. The book is important because it shows how constitutional design can be used to shape political behavior over time. It assumes that institutions do not remain neutral. They expand, adapt, and protect themselves unless checked. Levin therefore frames the amendments as corrective mechanisms that would force government to operate within narrower limits. Thirdly, federalism as the book's core political theory. Federalism is one of the book's organizing ideas, and Levin treats it not as a technical doctrine, but as a safeguard for liberty. In his view, the states are not subordinate administrative units, but essential political actors that should retain meaningful authority over representation, amendment, and resistance to national overreach. Several proposed amendments are built around this assumption, especially those that would allow states to initiate constitutional changes or override certain congressional actions. The book thus presents federalism as an active system of competition between levels of government rather than a symbolic division of responsibility. This emphasis matters because it reinterprets the states as constitutional partners with real powers of correction. For readers, the effect is to see national uniformity as a potential weakness rather than a strength. Levin's argument also implies that a healthy republic depends on dispersion of power, because concentrated authority is more likely to become permanent, insulated, and unaccountable. Fourthly, economic and administrative limits on the modern state. A major part of the book focuses on reducing the fiscal and regulatory reach of the federal government. Levin proposes a balanced budget requirement, a cap on federal spending, limits on the income tax, and restrictions on creating new forms of taxation. He also wants executive agencies to face regular reauthorization and congressional review, which would make bureaucracy easier to dismantle if it failed to justify itself. These ideas are tied to a broader suspicion that modern government grows through complexity, permanent agencies, and open-ended spending commitments. The practical effect of the proposals would be to force political trade-offs earlier and more visibly, rather than allowing deficits and regulation to accumulate silently. The book stands out because it treats budget rules and administrative review as constitutional questions, not merely managerial ones. Levin's approach suggests that if a government can spend, tax, and regulate without strong barriers, democratic accountability becomes weaker, even when elections continue to occur. Lastly, controversial remedies for representation, courts, and voting. Some of the book's most debated proposals concern how representation and democratic legitimacy should work. Levin calls for indirect election of senators through state legislatures, term limits for Supreme Court justices, and photo identification requirements for voting. These ideas reflect a broader concern that modern democratic institutions have drifted away from their original design and are now vulnerable to partisanship, elite capture, or procedural manipulation. At the same time, these proposals reveal the book's most controversial side, because they would significantly alter how people experience participation and how constitutional authority is exercised. The court proposal is especially significant because it seeks to reduce the permanence of judicial power while allowing some form of legislative correction. The voting proposal shows Levin's belief, Keefe, that election integrity is part of constitutional order, not just an administrative issue. Together, these ideas illustrate the book's willingness to challenge familiar democratic norms in order to rebuild what it sees as a more stable republic. In conclusion, this book will appeal most to readers interested in constitutional law, conservative political theory, federalism, and the mechanics of institutional reform. It is especially useful for readers who want to understand how one influential conservative thinker imagines reversing the growth of the administrative state through Article V, amendments rather than ordinary legislation. The practical benefit of the book is that it forces readers to think in structural terms how term lengths, fiscal rules, state powers, and judicial authority shape political outcomes over time. The intellectual benefit is similar but broader because it presents a clear contrast between modern centralized governance and a more decentralized constitutional model. Compared with many books in the same genre, it stands out for being unusually specific. Levin does not merely warn about decline or praise the founders. He offers a detailed amendment agenda that can be evaluated point by point. Whether readers agree with it or not, the book is notable for turning abstract complaints about Washington into a concrete constitutional program. That makes it a strong example of political argument built around institutional design rather than rhetoric alone. If you would like to support Mark R. Levin, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.